yeah, if we could, we could talk, start talking about your grandparents.
I was born in Quincy, Massachusetts, in the section of Quincy which is known as Wollaston. My father's ancestors came from England in 1635, and my mother's came later, the Chapmans came later from England. I was a member of the junior SNDR, which meant you had to trace your ancestry direct to someone who had fought in the American Revolution.
What does that stand for, do you know? SNDR.
Sons and Daughters of the Revolution. And this was considered better than the Sons and Daughters of the American Revolution, because we had to have the straight descent from someone. And my ancestor was John Temple, who was with Washington at Valley Forge. The only story that I remember about him was that in the bitter winter he had word that his young wife was dying, and he made his way through snow and storms back to Massachusetts and stayed with her, I think, a few weeks until she died, and then he went back to join Washington at Valley Forge. And my grandfather on my mother's side was Colonel William H. Chapman. He was a member of the 5th Regiment of Massachusetts, which was the first regiment to respond to President Lincoln's call for troops to preserve the Union. He was wounded at Vicksburg, and I remember more about him, though I never knew him, but I knew my grandmother. My father's parents died when he was quite young, so I never knew them. But my grandmother told stories of my grandfather's experiences and his very bitter feeling about war.
Fighting?
Yes, he and my grandmother, who I think was quite a strong-minded woman. Members of my grandfather's company, I remember her telling, came to the house to talk about things and the situation in the country. And then later on, after he was gone, I remember there were historians and others who came to see her to have her tell them about what she had learned from my grandfather and how bitter they were about the idea of war.
It was the idea of war itself?
War itself.
They felt it was unnecessary?
Yes. They would. Of course, this is all just from what I remember and my interpretation.
Did he pass away during the war? Was he killed?
No, he was wounded, quite seriously wounded, at Vicksburg, and they had to come home eventually. And they didn't live too long after that.
So he probably died of his injuries?
Yes, probably.
Do you remember what the reason was that they were bitter?
Well, I gathered that they thought that this was no way to settle differences. There had to be a better way than killing people. And my grandfather, as I remember, saw the devastation of the South, and that he had admiration from some of the Southern leaders and the men that he knew. And to think that they had to go and kill each other in order to settle it was abhorrent to him. The only other,
what was your grandmother like What was your grandmother like that you knew?
She was a very sturdy sort of person. When my grandfather was away, she had to maintain the family, and she adopted a child who had been left an orphan, given. And she had interesting stories to tell, because she went to the Concord Church, I don't know whether it was every week or how often, with a sewing group. She was a member of the church, to sew and knit for the soldiers. And Louisa Alcott came and read to them and told them the story.
Really?
And she had great admiration for them. Because the Emersons were alive then, so the Alcotts and Thoreau, and she knew them, and she used to tell stories of, you know, experiences with them. Plus, I grew up loving Louisa Alcott's Little Women and all that, and so it made it very vivid.
Was it your grandmother that read those books to you?
No, I don't think so. I think that she died when I was about 9 or 10 years old. So I think it was my mother, more likely, that started me on them. Because my mother was a teacher, and her first school was in Concord, Massachusetts. And she knew, of course, the people there in Concord, and Ralph Waldo Emerson's sister was the chairman of the school board, and she was the one who employed my mother, the teacher. So there were those stories of Concord from personal acquaintance
that
were fascinating to me.
How many children were there in your mother's family?
There were two girls and a boy, one girl who died, and then the adopted girl. And I think that it was not easy living during the war there in Massachusetts. I think they had a farm there in this Concord area, and seemed to have gotten along all right, but the next thing I remember is that my mother said she wanted to go to Mount Holyoke. I went to Mount Holyoke later, but there wasn't quite money enough. The boy was going to college, and they had the boy go to college and law school.
Where did he go?
He went to Tufts College. Because that was, as I remember, it's supposed to be the best preparation for law, and that's what he wanted to do. So my mother and her older sister, for whom I am named, went to Salem Normal School, which was a very good school, a very high reputation. And Phillips Brooks was the chairman of the board. And have you ever heard of Phillips Brooks? He was a noted minister in Boston. And he wrote O Little Town of Bethlehem. You know that?
Certainly.
And he was a very wonderful person. So my mother had great admiration for him and enjoyed the contact she had with him.
Was that a coeducational school?
No.
It was a girls'
school? I'm sure it was a girls' school. Women were prepared for teaching in those days.
Right, you know. And your mother became a teacher?
Yes, she taught first in Concord and then later in the Boston schools. Mm-hmm. And my father...
Oh, just one thing. What year was your mother born? Do you know? What year your mother was born in?
Well, goodness, I could look it up, but it was before...
The
Civil
War
was 1861,
right.
So it must have been... Probably the 1850s or something like that.
What was her given name?
And my mother's given name was Amy.
Amy Chapman?
Amy Chapman. And her older sister was Abby Louise Chapman. And it was a name that had come down. It had been Abigail first, Abigail Temple, and then it was Abby and then Abby Louise. Mm-hmm. Abby Louise, and I came down to Abby Louise.
The temple, that was your father.
My mother's
grandfather.
Grandmother. My mother's mother's name was Temple.
Right. That was your great grandfather.
Yes.
Or your grandfather. No, your great grandfather. Your great grandfather fought in the war, the Revolutionary.
No, great great grandfather, I'm not sure, but it was a temple anyway.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Right.
My father was a engineer. He designed and built marine engines, and we lived quite close to the coast, and sometimes he would take me out when he was testing an engine, and so I got used to being on the water at a very early age. I can remember one time going out in not too large a boat, and he asked me to steer it while he went down to work on the engine, and I was kind of scared, but I remembered I had a wheel. That was going.
Was your father born in Concord also?
No, he was born in Boston, Somerville, part of Boston. And his parents, His mother was thrown from a carriage when she was quite young. The horse was frightened by something, and so I think he maybe had just about reached the teens. And then several years after that, his father died of pneumonia. And my father had two brothers, and they were separated. And my father was sent to live with a relative in Maine on a farm. And he didn't like it.
He wanted to be with his brothers?
No, I don't remember. I think a brother was in Boston. He wanted to get back to Boston.
Anyway.
And then he went to Boston Latin School. And because of his loss of his family so early, I hadn't known so much. So I do have the Emory book that traces the lines now. Well, anyway, I always had great admiration for my father. It seemed to me he could do just anything. I remember one time I was in school. We had to write write Valentines. And I knew what I wanted to say in the rhymes, but I couldn't quite get it. And he said, oh, I'll do it for you. And he just wrote off several of them, and they were very good. They were quite the sensation. Nobody knew who had written them.
You didn't tell.
I didn't tell. No, I didn't tell. But they didn't think there was anyone in the class that smart.
Had your father gone to college?
No, he hadn't. He wanted to go. He took many courses and studied by himself. But the loss of his family and all made his coming up
more
difficult.
He must have been quite educated to work on engines like
Oh,
that.
Yes, he was.
Was he apprenticed or something, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I know he had books on engineering, and he studied them. And he was very creative. He got several basic patents that he had designed. I really hadn't thought too much about how he happened to know this much, but somewhere he may have gone.
Some practical training somewhere.
Yes,
yeah.
That I didn't know.
How did your parents meet, do you know?
Well, I think they were living in the same town.
Where was that?
And maybe that was Everett, which is just outside of Boston. And my mother's family were Universalists, the Universalist Church, and I think he may have been there too.
Religion was a very important factor in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Was religion a very important factor in your upbringing?
Religion? Did you say
religion?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Your mother had gone to a religious
No, it wasn't a religious school.
It was the same old normal
school that prepared young women to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a very fine reputation. I've known that. And then when we were living in Wollaston, my parents had joined the Unitarian Church. And so I grew up in the Unitarian Church.
A very liberal church.
A very liberal church.
Mm-hmm. Your mother's background was liberal too, with associations with Crow and Emerson.
And my father was liberal.
Both of them.
They just both were, and I remember enjoying their discussions of what was going on in the world. They were very much interested in all that concerned the country,
mm-hmm.
the government.
Very political.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Were they members of a political party or a union or anything?
Well, we were Republicans
mm-hmm.
in the beginning, and then we became Democrats.
During Roosevelt's administration?
Yes. And
when were you born? What year were you born?
1897. I just had my 80th birthday this month.
Oh, did you?
So I go back quite a way.
Oh, you do. You were born then just right about the time of the Spanish-American War.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you don't probably don't have any memories of that.
No, I don't.
I bet your parents had some memories of that, though, didn't they? Do you recall what any of those were?
The first real president that I remember they're discussing at political was Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And I rather think they were for him, but I wasn't sure. I know he entered into the conversation a great deal. And the first contact that I think I had, President Taft came to Quincy, and we went to hear him speak. And my father was very much interested in him.
In what way interested do you remember?
Hmm?
In what way? Was he a supporter?
Yes, I think so. And I think Taft was a Unitarian, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Well, I think so. I think that was maybe one bond. I'm afraid I've inherited a considerable independence. Of I know one of my Emory ancestors was disfranchised because he had Quakers in his home.
Oh, no.
Yes. That was back in, I guess, probably early 1700s.
Independence, do you mean politically? Or?
No, I mean in examining everything that was going on and making up their own minds about what they thought was right, whether it was a popular thing or not.
No
sheep. Often it was not the popular
thing. No sheep in your family.
No.
Your mother taught school after she met your father, though.
She was teaching school when they met.
What kind of school was that?
It was a Boston...
So it was a large school.
Boston school, regular public school.
Elementary school?
Hmm?
Elementary school she taught?
I think it was an elementary school.
And was your father?
I'm not quite sure. May have been a high school, but at least part of the time it was an elementary school, I'm sure.
That might have been one of those consolidated schools.
Mm-hmm.
Your father, was he practicing his marine engineering then when they were first married?
I don't know. I just always thought of just doing that, you know.
We didn't hear of any earlier.
I didn't hear of anything.
Did they own a boat? Did you finally have a boat?
No, we didn't.
Where did you live?
We didn't have a lot of money. We were comfortable, but didn't have too many luxuries, I think. But we're very, very comfortable. And after the boats that I went out and left my father, I remember our first car, which was a Ford. And, we did enjoy that because we were all adventuresome. And whenever there was a holiday or a Saturday that my father had free and the weather was suitable, we explored the country.
Mm-hmm.
And especially Cape Cod, we went down there and went on every little road, back road, and I think we saw most of the 365 ponds that were supposed to be on Cape Cod, and had picnic lunches, you know. It was lovely. Go out in the spring and look for mayflowers.
Oh, and you're living on Mayflower Drive.
Yes.
such a rich home life.
When I was, I think maybe I was 3 years old, my mother enrolled me in kindergarten, which was advanced.
Uh-huh.
But Mrs. Farrington, I remember her name. I can almost see her. My mother said was a very fine person and very well equipped to teach. She was had worked with Mrs. Montessori, was that the...
Right.
And I remember quite distinctly this little nursery school. I think it was about... I can see her standing in the circle in the morning singing, "Father, we thank thee for the night." and it was really, I think it was a very good school. We had handwork and various things. And then we took walks and observed nature. And I remember, especially in the spring, how exciting it was to go out to look for pussy willows. Each come back with a pussy willow. That was a very happy experience.
When did you start the real kindergarten or first grade.
I think it was about three when I went to that, and I think five, when I was five, I went to school.
You went
for the first grade.
You went for the whole 2 years?
Yes, I think so. I went for quite a while.
That's wonderful.
And it was quite a little walk, and as I remember it now, probably any parent would be afraid to send a child. I had to go down one hill, and then a little way this way, and then down another hill, and then over, and then down another road. It's really quite a walk for a three-year-old. Yes.
Oh, goodness.
My little lunchbox.
Did it ever scare you?
No, never.
You're very comfortable.
I was very comfortable. It was a very comfortable school. I think Mrs. Farrington was really a remarkable teacher.
Did that mold your focus on education then? Did you feel like you really wanted to go to school a lot?
Well, I don't remember that I had any special excitement about it. I just was going to do it. So,
what city was this in?
This was, it was still Quincy, but it was the Wollaston School in the Wollaston section. Mm-hmm. And about that time, I had scarlet fever. I can't quite remember whether it was in, I was in the first grade or whether I was about to be in the first grade. Mm-hmm. But you know, then you were incarcerated for 6 weeks. My poor mother. But anyway, I wasn't terribly sick after the first week, and it was, I wanted to be read to. Mm-hmm. My grandmother came and read to me in the morning. My mother read to me in the afternoon, and my father came home and read to me at night. So they kind of kept me under control. And another thing that I remember, one of the neighbors sent in a soup box full of little things, and I was to take one thing each day to have, to select one little item out of it. Yeah, one little, I can't remember what they were, but I suppose little odds and ends. But it was very exciting, my early days of being sick there. I had a choice, and had that with me all day.
You must not have been too terribly ill then.
No, I wasn't, I think.
Were other members of your family sick with it also?
No, no. See, I was an only child.
Oh,
so
were you?
Yes. And so I couldn't give it to anybody. But my mother thought, I think along about the sixth week, it was time that I got outdoors. And so we had a big porch around the front of the house, and we had a really lovely place to live. It was up on the hill, and we looked out across the Neponset Valley over the blue hills of Milton. Mm-hmm. And in the spring, the lovely shades of green all over this valley, which was filled with trees of various kinds. And then in the fall, the autumn colors were gorgeous. And so, well, anyway, I can't remember what time of year this was, but anyway, my mother bundled me up, and we went out on the porch to walk up and down. And while we were doing this, the doctor arrived.
Oh, dear.
And he and my mother had some little discussion about the problem treating children with scarlet fever. She said I was perfectly all right, and it was just wrong to keep me out of the fresh air.
But that felt good, too, the cool air on your face.
Yeah. Yes, it was lovely. So anyway, we kept on walking on the porch every day in spite of the doctor for a few days more.
Did you remember having any of the after effects of scarlet fever, any of the peeling or anything?
No,
like that?
I don't remember. I can remember my mother saying that she was so surprised. The first day that the quarantine was lifted, I rushed out to the backyard and got into the swing and swang just as hard as I could back and forth. Just shouting at the top of my voice, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free.
You've been pent up too long.
Yes, I have.
How old were you then?
Mm-hmm.
How old were you then?
I think I must have been around five or six. I'm not quite sure. I was either just beginning school or just started school. I was quite small.
What was that first grade school like?
It was a good school.
Was it?
It really, I had a very good experience in it. I remember we had good teachers and congenial companions. I remember there was one Negro family in Wollaston, and they were highly respected.
Oh, okay.
So I grew up, you know, without any feeling of prejudice against any.
You did go to school with
yes.
The black children.
There was just this one family.
What did their father do, do you know?
I don't remember. I know he went into Boston on the train, because I see him going back and forth to the train.
What kind of a professional man?
I don't think so. I don't really think so. One of the boys in the family was a very good baseball player. I wish I remembered their names, but... And he had, one of them had a very good voice. And there was a girl living in the house next to us who was several years older. And she liked to play the piano. And she and her friends, including this boy, used to come and they would sing in the evening. And this was when I was still quite small, because I would be in bed and I would hear the music and I just loved it. So there were many pleasant things about the early life.
At that school, do you remember what kind of things they taught? Was it just the basic reading and writing?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you have religious training in school?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But you went to church?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday I went to Sunday school. Church. My mother taught the class. And we had various activities, you know, picnics and so on. Mm-hmm. And we did in the school, too.
Did you go to the same school your mother taught in?
No. No. No, she never taught in Quincy. She was... she was in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's anything especially exciting about my... Like then, I know I like to play baseball, and the boys in the neighborhood did let me occasionally play with them. And
there weren't enough girls interested to make a girls team.
Well, they didn't. I don't think they quite accepted me, and they, yes, one was enough, but evidently I could hit or something or other. So,
did you have to play in your dress?
We played in the street.
Did you wear a dress though when you played baseball?
I just wore my ordinary school clothes. We didn't have much in the way of jeans or anything.
No, I didn't. I didn't think so.
My father bought me a bicycle somewhere along the way, and with a friend who had a bicycle, we also explored the countryside. You know, with the greatest of freedom.
That's one.
Yes.
I'm sad.
Apparently our parents never worried about us. I don't remember having any restrictions.
Do you remember any stories of that terrible things happening to children or anything when you were young that would cause them to worry?
No.
It just was a very crime-free place.
It was a time, I think, of calm. And the country was coming along in an acceptable way.
Mm-hmm.
So that people weren't disturbed or restless. They were, I don't remember anything about, you know, unemployment or people. Yes, I do remember about people in Boston and New York hearing about their being in need, the immigrants that came over. And my mother belonged to something or other. That was had projects, so there were projects.
Oh, that was after she was teaching.
That was when I knew her.
Mm-hmm.
I
and you were younger.
She did before. Yeah. When I knew her. Then I went to a girls' school in Quincy after I finished with the grammar school.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, do you ever see Ruth Gordon?
Oh, certainly.
Well, she was one of my playmates. She was in my class in
was
school.
Was she charming and cantankerous then?
Yes.
She seems very independent, wasn't she?
Yes. She lived in the neighborhood, and we played together a great deal when we were in the early grades in school. Then she went on to high school, and I went to Woodard, this girls' school that was endowed for Quincy-born girls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now still in existence. It's become now entirely college preparatory.
Mm-hmm.
The highlight of that came in my senior year there. I was president of the class, and we engineered a trip to Washington. And the principal and his wife, Mr. and Mrs. Rice, went with us. And we had a marvelous time.
Oh,
that. Mr. Rice had some friends. One was on the Supreme Court. So we got into the Supreme Court and into the Library of Congress, and that was what thrilled me the most. I can remember now the excitement I felt when I went in and saw this beautiful building full of books.
Well, you were an avid reader.
Yes, I've always been.
Well, your heritage.
Yes.
That he speaks. Mm-hmm. Do you remember, did you live in the same house all of those years in
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What was the house like?
What was the house like?
Uh-huh.
Well, it was my father built it. I really hadn't lived till I was about 3 years old. We lived in a house across the street, and there was this lot on the other side that had a better view of the valley. So my father bought that lot and had the house built there. And it was a very comfortable house. We had quite a large hall and living room together, and a dining room, quite a good-sized kitchen, and three bedrooms, I think, one, two, three, four bedrooms, and bath upstairs, and a good backyard and a garden. And during the war, I tried to grow vegetables in it.
We
were all growing things during, this was the First World War. And it was a good, comfortable neighborhood. Most of the husbands worked in Boston or were professional men. There were two sea captains, sea captains on the street, and one of them had a daughter who was slightly older than I was, and one summer they invited me to go on the theater. It was a four-masted schooner that went up and down the coast, but I didn't go. I think I was a little squeamish. It was going to be quite a long trip. It seemed to be about 2 months or something in the summer. And I had some other interests in the summer, and I thought to be tied up on a schooner for that long was a little more than I was enthusiastic about.
Did you spend a lot of time on boats, though, with your father's profession?
Well, not a lot of time, but we all loved to go on boats, and I remember especially the pleasure. Two special pleasures. One was a ship that ran from, what's the name of the place? Well, somewhere south of Boston that went to New York. It was quite a famous line. Mm-hmm. It was a very, very elegant ship. You got on it in the late afternoon and then you got off it in the morning in New York. And one time my father was going to New York on business, my mother and I went along. I was quite young, but I was terribly impressed by that ship and enjoyed it. And then another time, I remember father was going down to Newfoundland on something about some engine that had been sold down there. And I went along with him, and I was still quite young. I think I was in the grammar school. And this was not a very large little ship. I suppose it might have been 50. I see the group in the lounge there, might have been 50 persons on it. And a storm came up, a very bad storm, and everybody went down into this lounge. And my father said, no, we're not going to go down there. It's better to stay up here on deck. And we were leaning against the smokestack. It was a big smokestack, I think. He said, now that will be warm against our backs. And it's in the middle of the ship, so there won't be so much motion. So we stood up against that, and I wasn't a bit scared. I thought it was real exciting to have all this storm raging around us. But that's what I meant. Seemingly, my father always knew what was the thing to do, whether it was riding lurries or standing against the smokestack.
Well, you would have been desperately ill if you'd been in the lounge, right? Did your father have a place of business?
Yes, in Quincy.
Was it a shop?
Yes, a shop.
A machine shop, sort of.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he had clients that would come and buy different kinds of engines from him, or he'd work on it?
Well, I suppose they came. I remember that he had quite a little correspondence with European countries and shipped engines abroad, and he was always interested when he got letters from that. Sometimes he had to get somebody to translate them, you know, and help him with writing the answer. But that was interesting, that outreach. And then he had an office in New York with a representative there. We went to New York once or twice. I remember especially we went for 1 week, and every night we went to the theater. We all loved the theater.
How wonderful.
It was just terrific.
Yes. Did your father own this business?
Yes.
And then he had a branch in New York, but you stayed in Quincy.
And,
what was your mother doing at this time? Was she active in Club Work?
She belonged to some organizations, and she was active in the church, and she tutored a lot of the neighborhood children that had difficulty with something or other. I know she never was willing to accept any pay for it. She liked to do it. So we always had a string of children being tutored on something, and I was glad she knew something about algebra, because that nearly sank me. The holidays were important. Part of the interest that my mother had in my belonging to this group of children in the SBR was because they wanted us to know the history of our country. So we had trips. We went to look at Bunker Hill, and of course Quincy, there's the big stone church, Unitarian Church in the center, where the two presidents, John Adams and John Quincy Adams, are buried. And then there's the hill just on the edge of Quincy, where Abigail Adams went to watch the Battle of Bunker Hill. So we knew quite a little bit about Abigail Adams, and there's a cairn there now, or was. Then in Morriston, at the slope of the hill down, there is a stone with a marker that Anne Hutchinson had stayed there on her flight to Rhode Island. And I remember, because that was partway down where my father would be coming home, and I'd go and sit on that rock, and then he would pick me up there and we would walk home. So I got kind of acquainted with Anne Hutchinson that way. And we went, of course, to Concord to see that, and the various places in Boston and Plymouth. So that from the time I was young, the importance of history and what the struggle had been before we came was impressed upon me. What
the struggle,
people, the ideals that our forefathers had had, and the struggle they had had to build this new country.
Freedom seems like a very important word to you.
Yes.
You're talking about Anne Hutchinson. Was she an idol of sorts to you?
Yes.
Because of her religious independence?
Yes.
Were there other women that you admired when you were very young?
Of course, Louisa Alcott.
Right.
And then later, before I went to college, Mother took me to Boston to hear Mary Woolley speak at the Ford Hall lecture. And she had wanted herself, you see, to go to Mount Holyoke, and she was interested in hearing Miss Woolley. And she was a tremendous person. You know, she was an international person. While I was in college, she was away quite a bit of the time. She in Europe and doing things for the president. But she was really a marvelous person to have known.
That you knew her personally?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know her personally? Or?
Well, we all, it wasn't such a large college that we didn't have some contact with the people. And we would be invited to her home, not often, but certainly a few times during our life there. And she was a strong person, and her influence was felt all through the college. And I've just read Madam Secretary, the life of Frances Perkins. She was Mount Holyoke. And I had admiration early for her and her efforts on behalf of people.
Women or people?
Women and people, everybody.
Were you interested in women's rights?
No, I don't remember. Of course, I went to a girls' school,
mm-hmm.
and then I went to a women's college. And we didn't have the competition, you see, after I left elementary school mm-hmm. with the boys. And I always liked them, enjoyed the whatever we did together, but...
Now, I know you thought you should be able to play baseball.
Yes.
You told me that.
Yes, right.
Any reason why you couldn't play baseball.
No.
Can I backtrack just a second? You said that holidays were very important.
Yes, they were. 4th of July was a big day.
Mm-hmm.
We had, all went to the parade, and we went down to Marymount Park, I think, to see a ball game. Maybe that was in the afternoon. Anyway, in the afternoon we went to something, because I remember that the thing was that when we were on our way home, we stopped and bought ice cream,
mm-hmm.
and my cousin and her mother, her father was my mother's brother, the one who went to Tufts and was a lawyer,
right.
had died when he was really just getting started.
Did you know him?
No, he died before I was born, I guess, or when I was very small. So, my cousin was 3 years older. So anyway, they were always with us for 4th of July. And then in the evening, my father set off the fireworks. We sat on the porch. He stand below and he set off the fireworks. And some down into a park, which was a safe place. That was a very big and important day
out there
every year. And then... I remember that I grew up thinking that Labor Day was important. I think my family must have thought, you know, that this represented something about...
Day of sympathies for working people?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's Thanksgiving, and my cousin and aunt always came to our house for Thanksgiving, and that was a really wonderful day with all the good smells and good things to eat. And then Christmas. And the church at Christmas was very important. We had a small little choir that sang, and we were in had parts in the Christmas festival. When I was very, very small, they had some really quite outstanding festival in the church, and the Boston Globe sent reporters out. And my picture was in the paper with a woman. I can see the picture, but I can't tell exactly what it was. Anyway, she was sitting here, and I was crouched down beside her in a little long robe. And I was quite impressed that I had my picture in the paper.
What part were you playing? Do you remember?
I don't remember. All I remember is I was sitting there, and I had a special long blue sort of robe made for me.
What was that church like?
It was a stone church. It was an old church. Not a large congregation.
Were the church meetings like church meetings now in Unitarian churches where everyone contributes?
Yes. It was a really the same traditional service.